Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Listener note, if you would like to hear what happened at the beginning of this session and prior to it, if you would like my entire comeback story, 5 years in the making, including 2 fairly deep World Series of Poker main event runs and numerous conversations with poker superstars such as Matt Moore, Garrett Adelstein, Doug Polk, Matt Berkey, Marley Cordero, and others, head on over to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. That's patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. And sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. And you can go ahead and do that right now. Just takes a few moments. And not only do you gain access to about 900 hours of private recordings, including part 1 of this episode, but you also get membership to DGAF Community, an online community of communal folk. So do that right now, and I will wait for you. I'll take a sip of this Coke Zero so you won't miss anything. All right. Thanks for signing up. I hope you enjoy both all the content and the mostly amazing community. Poker Session 87 of 150, Hustler Casino Live, 7/25/22. Part 2, the stream continued. To recap, I had a rough few days leading up to this Max Payne Monday appearance. You're going to have to become a patron to hear what happened. But the point is, I was very drained mentally, emotionally, when I walked up on stage and the first 90 minutes we've already covered, and the last thing that happened was Darren on my right limped the cutoff, and I raised to 300 in a 10-20-40 with a $20 big blind ante game with 10-5 offsuit and sashimi 3-bet from the small blind to 800. It got back to me, and I 4-bet to 2K, and she went all in, and I folded. And you already know this if you heard part 1, but Trevor Savage, longtime patron, incredible human being, one of the best poker players you'll ever come across. Don't know if he's, some people, he's an online player on the East Coast, and I don't know if it's still true, but for a while it was true that he, in several years, like maybe a decade, he's never had a month where he earned less than 5K. So incredible poker player, but more than that, incredible dude, has had my back in so many ways on this comeback and has been a part of it. His family has, Jody and the Nuts, their kids as well. But he offered to do the notes for me so I don't have to watch the stream. I just, my schedule is that crunched that I don't have time to watch 5 hours of anything. I prefer to watch a show or something to take my mind away when I have, you know, some downtime, which isn't often. And so he did the notes for this episode, and yeah, it's just really cool and generous and everything else. And so he suggested that at the end of part 1, that was my worst play of the day because I said I wasn't going to 4-bet sashimi. Well, in a prior week, I was being sarcastic. I'm going to. If someone starts 3-betting me too much, I will start 4-betting them. And even if it costs me a little money in the short term, in the long term, they're going to stop. They're going to settle down. They're not going to want that heat. But he's right that this sizing from her out of position from 300, 800 is very strong. And that if I'm on my game, I read that and I just, I do not 4-bet. I either fold or call and try and outplay her after the flop with a wide range. So And then he says DGAF stands up and grabs his beer and I think takes a walk. That's where we left off at the end of part one, about 90 minutes into the show from July 25th. And so the show has a 30-minute intro, and the next timestamp is 156:50. And Trevor put this hand history in bold, which means he thinks it's a best play nominee. I didn't choose it as my best play, but I'll tell you about it. I raised the hijack to $120 with queen 8 offsuit. Is this a plus EV play to start out with? No, but I've mentioned it probably too many times that when you're playing on stream, you have to give action. If you're a pro, for sure, you have to kind of level the playing field. If you're good playing post-flop and all that, you kind of... you have to sacrifice EV. You have to do this even if you're not playing on stream. If you want people to play with you, you can't just play your A-plus game. They're not going to play with you. So I shoot to play my B-minus game in general. And so opening queen 8 offsuit is a hint, is just pretty standard for me. I know it's, if I was playing in a tough game and there was I didn't need to open it, I wouldn't open it. But I did, and Hillary called out of position. Flop came ace, 6-7 with two spades, including the ace of spades. Hillary checked, and I bet 80 into about 280, or 290 it was, yeah. And she called. The pot went to $450, and I have queen high. And the turn's the king of spades, a very interesting card. It gives me the nut flush draw, and she checks. And I bet 300 here. I plan to barrel any time I'm the preflop raiser and the board runs out with an ace and a king on it. And she does something interesting. She check raises here to $1,000. And you don't get check raised that often in this spot when you're holding the blocker, the queen of spades. And it's just, and you're the preflop raiser with the stronger range on the ace, 6-7 king board. And so this is going to have plenty of bluffs in it. I'm happy to just call. My queen high could be behind like queen jack or queen 10 that she floated with to the small bet on the flop and has a gut shot now and she's check raising, but it's just ahead of so many hands. I'm happy to call here. River's a brick, deuce of hearts. For a final board of ace, 6-7, two spades, king of spades. And just to recap, I opened late, she defended. I bet small on ace, 6-7, she called. The turn was king of spades, and she check raised from 300 to 1,000, and I called with a nut flush draw. And thinking my hand's going to be good here, plenty, and the river's a brick, and she bets 900. And I do think she's weak, and I think she's bluffing, but I'm really struggling with just call with queen high, or just even fold out the queen jack, queen 10 I'm a little bit worried about, or the weird... you know, something that just rivered bottom pair, which she could have. She's a very aggressive, creative player. And so I thought for a while, and then we talked a little bit during the hand, and I wouldn't do this in a regular game, but I think it's part of the show, the table talk. And sometimes it tricks me and sometimes it doesn't, and I don't think it tricked me here. I went all in just to cover all my bases. I didn't think she was strong. But there's nothing worse than you call a bluff and lose because they have a better queen high or some weird pair like she rivered a deuce, you know. So, yeah, I went all in and she snap folded. I don't know what she had. I think she might have had 5-3. So it was a good play. I don't think it was my best play. I don't think it was that difficult given the card I had, the queen of spades. I was very fortunate to have that card in my hand. And anyways, we move on. At 205.39, it's an update. I'm down $250, and my VPIP is 61%. And Sashimi's in second place, 34%. She really got a lot of hate for having a low VPIP the week before. I told her, don't worry about it. You do a lot for the show. She does a ton for the show. So many Japanese viewers because of her. And she brings people to the show. She didn't listen to me. She's VPIPing. Her brain's out. And... I have to. I am not an attractive young Japanese vlogger. So and if I'm just being real, I'm better than her post-flop. So I have to VPIP. I cannot sit there and go. She actually can play you know, a pretty tight, aggressive style she wants, but she chose not to. Okay, 207 bomb pot. I have nothing. 211. So Trevor did, I think he might have done every V-pip here for me. That's the kind of dude he is. In the future, he definitely doesn't need to do that. But, yeah, he offered to do this. He's just, you know, pretty amazing. 211.35 rampage raises to 120. And I complete with 5-4 offsuit, four ways. Flop bottom pair, 8-7-4. Checked around. Turns a queen. Checks around again. River's a king and sashimi bets. And I'm not calling here with bottom pair. And I thought this might be my worst play the first time I reviewed these notes. And I decided it is not. And I'll explain why. 215.18. The man who signs my checks, the co-owner of High Stakes Poker Productions, Nick Vertucci, also known as Natucci, raises to 150 in the hijack, and I'm on the button with 8-4 offsuit. And he raised bigger earlier, and I 3-bet with a really bad hand, King 6 offsuit, because I had a read that he was weak. And he had 5-4, and he made trips, and I tanked. I almost called him with King High all in on the turn, because I thought it was trips or nothing, and anyways, here I think he has a more standard hand with his sizing, and I just call. I like to call in position deep. It's what's left of poker that I like, being deep and in position with a wide range and playing the leveling game. You can't have it here, but you never have it. But you think. I think you never have it, that kind of stuff. Anyways, I call with ace 4 offsuit. It comes ace, queen, 7, 2 diamonds. Nick bets 330 into 390. He takes larger sizings like you see most players do that are good. I take smaller sizings. It's just part of my own personal game plan, but there's definitely a lot of benefits to the sizings Nick takes. Earlier in the session, I would have turned trips if he had bet really small on the flop, like many people do, but he bet big enough where I had to fold bottom pair. And anyways, yeah, so he bets 330. I'm going to call ace, queen, 7, 2 diamonds. I'm going to call one time. And the turn is a nice 4 of spades. Beautiful. Nick bets 800. He does not slow down. When I first thought about this hand, I thought I should raise right here with my crazy image, but I think it's an overplay. I think he still could have hands that beat me, ace, queen, ace, seven, pocket queens, pocket sevens, I guess pocket aces. But I have top and bottom. And at first I thought I should raise right here, but he also almost folded top pair to me earlier and I gave him a really good price. I wanted to make it look like I was milking him and he thought I was milking him and he almost folded and I had 8 high. So I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this call here and staying very under-repped. And then the river is the 8 of spades. And so that's nice. And Nick checks. And I bet 2,000 into 2,650, and he snap called with ace-jack. So I won the hand, and I won a nice pot. When someone snap calls your value bet, you're inclined to think, I could have bet bigger. And I definitely could have bet bigger on the river. At least $500 more. I think if I take it over pot, he can start thinking about folding. I definitely left some value on the table in this hand, but it wasn't that bad because it's still a strong line he's taking on the turn when he fires 800 into 1,050. The worst hand he has is a big ace, and the rest of them have me crushed. And you can get money on the river. It's an option. And the last thing you want is him to make a hero fold on the turn to your raise, and then you're going to feel like a chump, and you're not going to get any more money. And so but he called so quickly, I definitely could have bet a little bit more, and who cares? It's just, at first I thought it was my worst play. No, that's fine. It's not great at all. My river sizing wasn't good. But that's the only thing I didn't like about it. Before, I thought I should raise the turn and just go for max, max, max value, and yeah, it's just top and bottom there isn't that great compared to, like, if I had pocket fours, then you obviously can because you beat all the other aces up and what have you. So let me take a sip of this Coke Zero. That at 221.20. I raised 120 in the hijack with 9-6 of hearts. Shout out Mike Trout, and no one called. 222.45, I limped for Kobe. Deuce 4 offsuit, 3 ways, flop nothing, let it go. Trevor put note, raver notes, over 7,000 concurrent viewers is the most ever for a Max Payne Monday. At the time, I didn't realize how much of this had to do with the 5-seat rampage. It had a ton to do with him. It had some to do with the stuff we're doing, the characters that are becoming regulars on the show and the intro videos and whatnot, and that we're branching out. We're not just putting poker players on here. We had an Olympian playing. We have a model, Margot, who's a regular now, and Hillary, she definitely plays a lot of poker, but we're branching out. We're trying to make it a reality poker show, and some of it had to do with the stuff we've been doing, and a lot of it had to do with Rampage, who brought our numbers way up all week long. Okay. So, 224.25, I limp dark under the gun. It's something I do to just get involved in pots. It's not just for boosting my VPIP. I do care about my VPIP quite a bit. It's just a challenge for me to try and play around half a hands, nine-handed, and book a win. I think it's tough. I think people are saying I should be playing in bigger games. Well, I've been on a heater, so it looks like that. But it's really tough to play half of the hands nine-handed and book a win. But that's what I was talking about, handicapping the game a little bit. And, yeah, so that's what I do. I limp under the gun, and Rampage went to 200, and Margot called, and I called. We had 690 in the pot. It came queen 6-3 and checked around. So I had middle pair. The turn was a king and a Rampage bet, and I folded. And he hadn't been winning any hands, and I believe I still had him beat here. But you just got to fold at some point, and it's nothing major. Here was my actual worst play at 226.35. I had king 8 of spades and a 5-way limper. It came king 7-6, 2 clubs and a spade. I led 120, which is fine to lead top pair in a limp pot. Rampage called. The turn was an 8, and I now I have top 2, and we checked. And then the river was a jack, and I bet 400, and he folded. It's just, I wasn't telling any sort of story. Usually I tell a story. That's what I am, as a storyteller. That's what a podcaster is, a writer is. And I usually do that in hands. I wasn't doing that here. I was just either exhausted from playing so many hands, perhaps a little tipsy already. And I just, and I also have never played with Rampage before. And really, this is just a bad, bad line. To five-way limper, you're going to bet top pair. You're going to turn top 2. You should bet for value there against draws. I kind of was hoping that he would bluff me on the turn, start bluffing. But really, I should check the river if I'm going to check the turn or bet the turn. And I think I should be checking the river a lot here. Anyways, I just let him off the hook. I played this hand as poorly as I played a hand all night. And it wasn't a big pot. I still won, but I have no idea what he had. But it's just, what the fuck am I doing? Leading top pair, no kicker, 5 ways. Turning top 2 and checking when there's 3 in a row out there, not good. And then betting when the jack comes, it just was bad. And that was my worst play. And Trevor didn't even highlight it as a potential worst play, but I think he would agree that it was pretty fucking atrocious. And sometimes we click buttons. And I did this in part 1 where there was a hand where I clicked a button on the river. And we don't know why we're doing it. And I kind of didn't know why I was doing anything in this hand, if I'm being honest. I usually know why I'm doing stuff. And that's the beauty of live poker. You'll see players get locked in the zone where they know why they're doing everything. And then you'll see them have sessions where they can never get in the zone. They don't know why they're doing anything. And the game seems so hard. And then most sessions are some of each. And so there, you definitely have a hand of, I have no idea what the fuck I was doing. 229.15, there's a bunch of limps. I make it 340 from the straddle. Sashimi calls and Crazy Jim calls. I have ace 8 of hearts, and there's $1,160 in the middle. It comes 765 with 2 spades and a heart. I check here. Why do I check? I could bet, right? I'm open-ended two overs and backdoor flush draw. And I think this is a good flop. I like the situation where someone's going to think I might have a big pair if I squeeze and then check this flop, and they might start bluffing, and I have enough equity to start calling, and they're not going to bluff rivers. And many times when I make my hand, they're going to see that as a green light to go all the way with their bluffs. So that's why I checked. I'm fine with it. Turn was a queen, and now I'm going to start betting. I bet 600, sashimi calls, and Crazy Jim raised to 2,100, and I just have to fold, and it was kind of a weird hand. And sashimi had king, queen of hearts, so she had me beat, and I don't know what Jim had. I think he said he had queen nine. I don't know. It's just an interesting hand. At 232.20, Hillary limps. Jim, Crazy Jim raises, cutoff to 140. And I am the, I three bet the big blind with ace deuce offsuit to 820. And Jim had five deuce suited. And so part of being successful, spewy as fuck player is just reading when to spew and when not to spew. When do you make it 820 with the ace deuce offsuit? You do that when it seems like your opponents are weak. And it just seemed like Hillary was weak, and Jim was trying to isolate her weakness with a weak hand. And so that's why I went to 820 with ace deuce offsuit, when I would just fold that hand a lot. So at least it's not just luck of, oh, your squeeze got through, you're lucky no one had anything. Yeah, I mean, partly, but you're also, you read that no one had anything. And or you read that was someone super strong and you didn't go for it. And yeah. And then the next hand, so this is just a little display of a good old American aggression. So that was 232.20. The next hand is 233.50. Jim raises to 120 in the hijack. Darren calls, and I'm on the button with, Darren calls on the button. I'm in the small line with ace 10 offsuit. Much better than ace deuce offsuit. I go to 840, $20 more than the hand before. And Brandon, the Olympian, folded ace king here. I found out later, Jim folded 10-8 suited and Darren folded 7-6 suited. They all had really good hands and they all folded. And it's just, sometimes you can use, okay, I just squeezed last hand. Most players are not going to squeeze. The second time they squeeze, they're going to have it. Well, ace 10 offsuit is better than ace 2 offsuit, but it wasn't quite it. And, it's nice to manufacture pots. It pays for, ill-advised floats, bad V-pips, gambling pre-flop. It's all paid for by the manufacturing of pots, okay? So at 238, it's a four-way limper. And I have 9-6 in position. And it comes ace-9-3, all spades. I have the six of spades. Darren bets 110, and I call. And the turn's an ace, and Darren bets 300. I have a bluff catcher plus a flush draw. I call. The river is a king. Does not bring in the flush. He checks. I check. He had ace-7 offsuit. So here you have he had me beat. He had three aces and didn't win that big of a pot. I had a bluff catcher, but it didn't. You know, whatever. I also had a draw. That's why I called. 239.53. I raised to $120 with King 10 of Diamonds. Brandon called on the button. Brandon is the Olympian. Rampage went to 700 from the small blind. I'm going to call with King 10 of Diamonds. And Brandon called 2180 in the pot. Flop was monstrous. King, Queen, 5, 2 diamonds. So I flop a flush draw and top pair. Rampage checks. And it's okay. He checks, and what to do with top pair in a flush draw. You could check along. If Brandon was a more bluffy player behind me, I could definitely consider checking to him. He seems like he's going to play pretty straight up. I want more money to go in the pot. Now I'm going to bet less than a third of the pot, slightly. I bet 700. I'm hoping Rampage will use his rage advantage here to squeeze me and to go for it. And I just have a beautiful hand. A top pair is a great bluff catcher. And also flush draw is a backup plan. And anyways, they just both folded. At 241.43, it's an update. And I'm up $3,550. And at 243.43, I go to 120 with 10-4 of spades. And it's four-way action. And 560 in the middle. It comes ace, king, queen, rainbow with one spade. I bet 120 with the gut shot, the backdoor flush draw, and the range advantage. Margot calls. Okay. The turn is a four. I've bottom pair. I check. She checks. The river is a jack, giving me a straight, and I'm going to bet, and everyone goads me into checking. They say, just check, and when the whole table tells you just to check, you just check. And Margot, I forgot what she had, but she, you know, I had a straight, and I slow rolled her a little bit, just in fun. 247.30, bomb pot, flop nothing. 251.20, four-way limper. I have 9-4 offsuit in the big blind, so that just means I put in $20 more, and I flop nothing again. And I need another sip of this Coke Zero. We're going to get to my best play very soon, and I believe it is a very good one. 258.58. I raised 120 in the cutoff with 4-3 offsuit. Brandon calls in the small blind. Comes 7-7-6, two spades. He checks. I bet 200 with my 200s and a gut shot. And the turn's 8 of diamonds, and he leads $1,200. And there's nothing for me to do here but fold. He had king 9 of spades. So he had a huge draw. He also had the best hand. And he just bet so much that there's just nothing to do with 4-3 offsuit there. At 3-0-0-40, I raised to 120 in the hijack with nines, and Hillary calls heads up. It comes king, queen, six. She checks. I bet 100, and she calls. I don't need to. I mean, I could bet a little less here. And anyways, she calls, and the turn's a deuce. It goes check, check. And Hillary is so wide pre-flopping on the flop that my hand could be good. Well, not on the ace of diamonds river. She bets 500, and I snap folded. I don't know what she had. 302, 15. Third hand in a row. I've made it 120. I have ace 10. Brandon and Rampage call. I'm out of position to both of them. Comes 9-5-3 rainbow. I'm not going to be continuation betting here. Rampage he's had a rough night. He's just going to be sticky, and I'd rather, I'm just going to check fold on the 9-5-3 on ace 10. Not always, but in multi-way pots, yeah. And then I took a walk, and I did come back for my best play. At 3-12-15, Hillary opened $120 UTG plus 2. And we're playing 10-20-40 with a $20 big blind ante. Crazy Jim called. I called a small blind with 6-5 of hearts. Is this a 3-betting hand? In different games, against different players, sure. Not here, not with my image, not against these players. There's no fold equity, and unless I just squeeze to an astronomical amount. And it's a hand that plays fine multi-way. And now Brandon is the straddle, and he raises to 500. And what happened just prior to this is, so I met Brandon. I got his number from Ryan. I was messaging with him before the show, getting him ready to go. And then I met him that day. Really nice guy. I guess I could call him a kid. And he said he plays mainly 5-10, 5-5, 5-10. He has played 10-20 before at the Bellagio. And so I told him, and this is sincere, is that people who are successful athletes like him, they have this really strong competitive drive. Those are the people that make good poker players. I always thought that Kobe would be such a sick poker player if he wanted to be. And anyways, so I know his background, very competitive, and but he doesn't play a ton of poker. He's still learning, and he's a student of the game. And also what happened just before this hand is he went for it with a big draw against Darren. Darren had top set, so the draw was a little smaller than he thought. Some of the cards that bring him a flush, he loses on. But still, big draw, and he got there, and he suddenly has a bunch of chips. And he just, in a very human way, got chirping chips. And so if you've just been around forever, you know this is a target. I'm going to bluff this person soon. And months ago, when I first started commentating, I was doing the Friday game, and that guy George won a three-way all-in And I think he might have had one out, and he binked it, and he had a ton. And I said, good news, George, you just won the three-way all-in, and you have 100 and some K in front of you. The bad news is, two seats away, Garrett is looking at your stack, and he's going to eventually put you in a really tough spot. And Garrett played probably the best hand I've commentated, where he had no equity four ways and put out a bet. And then he picked up that George exactly had top pair, and he was able to deduce, even on a tough turn or river, that he didn't make top two pair, and he bet flop, bet turn, and then he stuffed river with ace 10 offsuit on like king 9 x jack or jack x, either way, and he got the fold and he won a big pot, and it was just this really fucking awesome hand of poker. I saw it coming when Garrett bet the flop and when George called quickly, kind of telegraphing his hand a little bit. I also predicted it would come when hours earlier when George won that huge pot. And I said, it's either going to be Garrett or Gall. One of them is going to go after that huge stack. And if you are up a bunch in a session, aren't you inclined to try and not lose it all? And you're going to be risk averse. And so on a much smaller level, they're playing a big game, they're sober, they're fucking trying their hardest. This is a much smaller level, max pay money. It's still big money, but we're not trying as hard, and we're drinking and having fun. But here we go. When he makes it 500, I think we all know he has a really big hand here, a big pocket pair, and we all call. Hillary calls, and Crazy Jim calls, and I call, and it's a four-way bloater, $2,040 in the middle. I have 6-5 of hearts. So Hillary opened, Jim called, I called in the small blind with 6-5 of hearts. Brandon popped it from the straddle. They called, I called them. Out of position, 6-5 suited, 2,040 in there. The flop comes down 7-7-4 with two clubs and a spade. Okay, I'm open-ended. I check. Brandon bets 1,400. This is very consistent with a huge overpair. And Hillary folds quickly, and Jim thinks about it and folds. And now what to do with my draw? Well, if he is more seasoned, if he's used to playing bigger, he's definitely not going to want to get bluffed on stream. So just try and hit it. Or take a really, if you think you can level him, like if it's a really good player here, what I might try and do that's not, and I'm not saying he's not a good player, he just, you can tell he's risk averse in this moment. But if it's a really good player who's not risk averse, I could raise small and shove the turn. And that is going to really sell a seven. I have the widest range here. That's going to sell a seven to a really tough player. And they're going to maybe make a tough fold, probably make a tough fold, because that's what you do in live poker, is you fold to when someone takes a really strong line, they have it. Even me, well, less so than others, but, and then someone who's just not folding, you just call. You just call, and maybe you think about bluffing if a club gets there, but really you just want to hit your straight because you have pot odds to try and hit it. But here is a perfect situation to go old school and to semi-bluff huge with your draw, and it's not the draw he thinks. And so I, with two sevens out there, I raise to 7,700. And Raver immediately says, could you pick a worse time? I could, sure, I could. This seems like a pretty fucking great time to me. And I don't know that he's going to fold, but I think he's going to fold. And I just have a backup plan. This is deep stack. No, it's a backup plan. It's not zero equity. I'm still open-ended. And if he calls, right? And he has a little more than that in his stack, but I want to use the two sevens out there and go to 7,700 just to level. And I did it the week before with 910. I bet 910. I like doing that both ways. When I have it, when I don't have it, I like people thinking different stuff. I like the subliminal here. And then we start talking. And I know he doesn't want to call it off. But now the job's not done. I picked the right spot. Could you pick a worse spot? This is a fucking great spot. It just is. It's a fantastic spot. So I picked a great spot for it. But the job's not done. I got to continue to sell it. This is live poker. You make the big play. If you look nervous and you can't talk, motherfucker's calling you. Well, no. Take a sip of my beer. When people take sips of their beer that's strength. Okay, reverse tell. And then he says, I have pocket aces. And I say, you have the ace of clubs? Just quickly, And so now I got him thinking about, what? You think I have the ace of clubs? Okay, you don't have the ace of clubs. So I'm less worried about a flush draw here. And then he says, that makes sense. You have king jack of clubs. And I said, I thought you had ace king of clubs. Oh, I say that. Well, now I can't have king jack of clubs. And why would I go all in with a small club draw if I thought he had a big club draw? And then I say, look, I'm not going to tell you my hand, but I'll tell you I have zero clubs. And I think he knows I'm not going to lie here. And so now at this point, this guy is so in the blender, and this is part of poker, and especially on a stream, you got to put on a show. And I thought he was folding from the jump, but I just wanted to close the deal, and the table talk, if you watch that, cover my hand, you're going to think I'm strong. And everyone said it's such a horrible fold. Well, it's easy when you can see the cards. And people raise a lot with chips. In my spot, when they're worried about a flush draw, of course, I said I was worried about a flush draw, but I wasn't worried about a flush draw. And anyways, he folded, and I won, whatever, 3K for nothing, and we ran it out, and I would have bricked. And I thought that was, not only was it not really bad, it was really fucking good. And I'm not jerking myself off while I'm saying that. I have already said I played a hand against Rampage where I clicked buttons on at least two of the three streets. And I just occasionally I do something that I really like. I liked all of this, and I like that we're playing on stream and people want to see big bluffs. So there's that element to it as well. At 326.45, the update is I'm up 6,100 and my VPIP is 59%. Sure, I'd be losing if he called. We ran it out. I would have bricked out. But 59% is a strong VPIP. Couple things going on here. I know I've been running super hot on Mondays. I know I've been winning, quote unquote, too much. Not only am I getting resentment from people I didn't expect it from, but people watch the show, that people start wanting you to lose. Everywhere they do. So I'm going to give a little more EV up. I'm going to play even more hands. And I've talked about this a bunch. I felt the need to self-medicate more than normal on this night. Usually on Mondays I have drinks and have fun. I was drinking at a much faster pace. I had been going through some shit. Not just like I was, I got kind of hurt, or whatever you want to say, Friday night, and I couldn't sleep, and I just had a busy Saturday. I felt a little better, and Sunday I just felt like a busy mind, and I just unrested, and when you're unrested and unsettled, and there's things in your mind you're not sure about, and there's people you're really not sure about now that you thought you were sure about. Oh, if you're fucking Irish, you're going to, whatever, give me more. Let me get to a point where I forget about this shit, and I can just play poker and spew around. So those are the two things leading to my VPIP being closer to 60 on this night than 50. I think I definitely always want to be 33% or higher. I want to play at least one out of three hands while I'm playing on Mondays. If I play on a different day, I'm going to have to change everything. But it doesn't matter. This is perfect for this game. This is kind of the blueprint for poker pros, in my opinion, is you want people to play with you. You want people to want to play with you. You give up shit, and not only are you giving up equity or EV, whatever you want to call it, by playing a bunch of hands, but you are by drinking and talking the whole time. You're just going to fuck up hands. And so, yeah, 327.40, it's a bomb pot. And Hillary bet 400. I called on ace, king, five, two diamonds, and Trevor didn't put what my hand was. The turn was a jack, and we checked, and Brandon bet 1,200. And didn't seem light. So I probably had an ace or a king and folded. 329.46, I raised 120. plus two with 10-7 offsuit. Rampage, three bet. I'm not going to defend 10-7 offsuit out of position. And so, yeah, you're going to see this more as the night goes on, as he starts three betting more. And, you know, I'm just not having good hands to defend. That's just a bad hand. And 330, 46, I raised to 120 with Jack 8 offsuit and Rampage calls and Nick calls, Nick Natucci. Flop comes queen, queen 4, and I have the Jack of clubs, and we just check around. I'm happy to bet. I'm happy to delayed C-bet. Well, the turn is a 10, and Rampage bets 350, and I just fold the gut shot. I don't know. I could have called there maybe. I don't know what he had. Trevor didn't write that because he's a jerk. Okay. 332-34, limp dark under the gun like always. And whatever time I remember. And Brandon limps, and Hillary goes to 230 on the button. And I look down, I have fucking red queens, and I go to 740, and she jams all in. And this is a snap call, queens against Hillary. And she had jacks, and it came. She had jacks with the jack of clubs, and the flop came 10, 9, 8, 3 clubs. And I had no clubs. I had red queens, and the turn was a 6 of clubs, and I was fucked. And I doubled her up. And if there's anyone I'm happy to double up, it's Hillary with an H. So who cares? Get it in 80-20, lose. Do for some of those. And Trevor put in the notes, DJF has moved on to Coronas. I was kind of joking around in my intro video that my strategy is all drinking. It's just how I'm going to drink and not start with those Modelos. They're so good at the Hustler. And then when you're worried you might spill because they are big cups, go to the Corona bottles and then eventually move on to cocktails, sugar-free Red Bull, Kettle One, because you need a little pick-me-up. And it's funny that Trevor noted that. At 3:35:45, Hillary limps and Darren calls in the big blind. And I make a 300 with 10-5 offsuit, and Hillary called. And came 10-3-3 rainbow, and I bet 200 into 670, and she called. The turn was an 8, and I checked, and she bet 300. I called, and we chopped on a queen. Okay. Let me take another sip, and I'm going to just scan these next notes. I'm realizing I have too many to get done in one drop. So at 338-10, I just called Brandon's open with ace-jack offsuit. It seemed right, game flow, and once you show someone a big bluff, the rest of the session, now you got to make the hand against them for the most part. And it felt like that with a competitor like Brandon. So now I'm not going to be as aggro with him. And when you have my image, there are certain hands that a tight player can 3-bet and snap fold to a 4-bet. But in my situation where people are going to spaz against me, it's just really, you'd rather not have to make that decision because they're going to do it with a bunch of spazzes, but you also don't want to stack off with ace-jack, and maybe that's paranoia, but whatever. I need another sip. So at 340-108, Nick raising the cutoff to 140. I called in the small blind with 10-5 of diamonds. Set off the domino effect, 6 ways, flop nothing. 349-32, I raised 120 with ace-9 offsuit. Get 2 callers, comes 4-4 deuce, 2 spades. I go ahead and bet. They fold. 352-30, I raised 120 plus 1 with ace-6 offsuit. Rampage, 3 bets. It seems like he's going to be three betting me a ton. Now, that's just the game flow, and that's part of being, you know, good at poker is knowing when they're going to be light and when they're not going to be. Well, Margo calls cold, and she's always going to have a good hand here, and so I just dumped the ace-6 offsuit. And I don't know what Rampage had here, but I was going to continue with ace-6 offsuit in this situation. 356-40 is a bunch of limpers on my straddle. Pop it to 300 with jack-2's offsuit. They fold. And I made a straight against Darren. Sorry, Fergie. I did. 357-55. Darren limped the small blind. I went to 200 with queen-10 suited. He called. And it came ace-jack-6. And he checked. I bet 600, and he called, and the turn was a king of spades. So I just turned the joint, And he checked, and I bet 1,000 into 1660, and he folded. He had jack three. So, you know, let me see what interesting hands we have left here. Okay, here we go. This one's pretty interesting, where Hillary raised 240, and I called queen nine of clubs. Sashimi called, and then Brandon went to 500 again. That's his number with big pairs, it seemed like. And Hillary called, and I called. So we got 1660 in there, and it came king, king, nine, and he bet 750. And Hillary folded, and it's the same situation. Well, this is different. I don't have a draw. I have a bluff catcher, but I was going to get ready to bluff. I was going to try and level him and rep the trips here, and I think he has two pair again, but I decided, no, I got to let it go. And he had aces again, and I don't think he was folding this time, and I definitely thought he was folding the time before, and this is poker. I made a flush against Darren and got fucking max value and a limper. I stacked him, and he shoved all his chips over to me. And so we couldn't see my cards for a while because a mess of chips in front of me. At 4:06:45, 3.5 hours in the show, I'm up 14,200, and my VPIP is 62%. And then bomb pot, nothing, limp unknown hand, fold after a raise and a three bet, and I had pocket sevens, and it came all high cards, and I folded to Jim. Limp dark, folded Hillary, and I just wasn't connecting for a while, and I was just kind of in there a lot and not flopping anything. Then I three-bet with H-Jack of Hearts and Crazy Jim. I went to 400. He went to 2,100, and I folded H-Jack of Hearts. Turns out he had pocket kings. I had ace. Darren limped. I popped it to 200 with ace-3 offsuit, and he called. And then it came king 7-4, and he checked, and I bet with ace-3 on king 7-4. He folded. I opened 10-9 offsuit, rampage, 3-bet, and in position. I got to fold that one. It didn't. Sometimes they seem light, sometimes they don't. Yeah, folded. And I under the gun, I limped dark, as I do, and I picked up kings, and I put in the three bet against Rampage, open, and Margo's call. They folded. What else do we got here? Pretty interesting hand. I think 429.30, Rampage raises plus 2 to 120. Hillary calls, and I call my straddle with ace-3 offsuit. Flop comes 6-5 deuce, check around. The turn's a 3, and I went ahead and bet 80 here to get value from ace high. And, you know, it's 6-5 deuce 3. I have all the 4s in my range. And Rampage called, and Hillary folded, and the river was an ace, giving me aces up. I checked, hoping he would value bet this card or bluff it. I was going to check raise, and he just checked back. He had king deuce, so he flopped bottom pair, but he called me with king deuce on 6-5 deuce 3 in a three-way pot with a player behind. So he was stuck and playing stuck poker and been there, and maybe he'll get unstuck. Stay tuned. Limps around. I raised the 200 with 10s in the small blind. Everyone folds. And then Jim, Crazy Jim raises to 140 in the hijack. And I 3-bet the small blind with ace-5 offsuit to 600. And Jim called. Came ace-jack-deuce, two clubs. I bet 300 on just a quarter of the pot, and Jim folded. And then Trevor noted that I'm switching over to the DGAF drink, which is sugar-free Red Bull, Kettle One, splash of soda. Been drinking that shit at poker tables for a very long time. And 435.07, what happens here? Hillary limps under the gun. I raise the button with ace-5 offsuit. Sashimi, 3-bets, and Hillary calls, and I just fold my ace-5 offsuit. I believe Hillary was super short, and just there's no need to defend there. Well, I just get in there in a limper, flop nothing. I have a nice hand here at 445.26. I limp dark under the gun again. I have jack-5 offsuit. It's a six-way limper. And it comes 10-10-9, and Nick Natucci, go ahead, he leads here, and I have very strong reads on paired boards, and I'm going to float, and I do. I call, and the turn is a brick, and he checks, and I bet. I have jack-5 on 10-10-9 four. And he, you know, there was not a flush draw on the flop. So what can I have? Like, I have to have a good hand here. And he showed a nine and folded. And I had jack five. So I got him one time. At 447.50, I'm up 15,400 in the bomb pot. Nothing. Four-way limper. I have jack four offsuit. Nothing. I limp behind with 5-4 offsuit. And it's raised twice behind me. So someone limped. I limped. Now it's time for my worst play. I know I went on about my best play, but it's hard when I know they did a video of it, the HCL clips, and everyone's saying, well, because the commentator says this is the worst spot to do it, you got to call here. All the comments say you got to call, worst fold ever. I mean, how many people are being honest with themselves about they're in a game that they're normally used to sitting with 2,000 and suddenly they have 9,000 and it's a paired board four ways to the flop and someone has made it your whole stack and they're talking very comfortably and drinking, you know, so yeah, I don't know. So I wanted to explain why that was actually good in doing that, defend the guy who folded a little bit because a lot of people fold there. That's just the way it is. And I've made folds like that when I was playing a little bit bigger than I wanted to or was comfortable with, whatever. Here's my worst play. At 502.00, I raised to 200 in the hijack with 10-7 offsuit. Just a stream play. I could tone down. I don't have to play every raggedy hand dealt to me. But again, I've been doing well, so I want to give back a little extra. And I am you know, I'm getting pretty buzzed at this point. And Jim calls in the straddle. And it comes jack 10-5. He checks. I bet a quarter pot or so. I bet $100 with second pair. And he calls. The turn's an 8 for jack 10-5. Turn's an 8 and he leads 100. And it induces me. These blocker bets that people do, they do them to not have to face a raise. And I always raise. And he tricked me. I raised a 2K here. It's so unnecessary. It's just, I was just trying to get him to fold everything. And I don't even remember what he had. Maybe he had jack 10, but he didn't fold. And the river came in king and we checked. I think he might have jack 10. Again, Trevor Savage didn't put his hand here because he's lazy. No. 504.15. I raised to 100 with deuce 4 offsuit for Kobe. Four ways. King 8-6, sashimi led $20, Jim raised to 40. I put in the cold 3 bet with deuce 4 and king 8-6. They all folded, and I said for Kobe. And I didn't hear this at the time, but I guess Crazy Jim made a joke about Kobe at the other end of the table, and I guess the chat really didn't like that. I could definitely see that. 508.45, limp dark, Hillary shoved, so she's getting short, just fold whatever I had. 5-12-17, a bunch of limps. I raised a 300 from the straddle with king deuce suited. Everyone folded. 5-13-45, Brandon raised under the gun to 200. I 3-bet deuce 4 off. So I was getting Kobe a lot to 700. This is just, I want a deep stack play him. And he called and I'm out of position. So this is me feeling very confident in my abilities. Overly confident in my abilities, taking a really, you know, deuce 4 offsuit out of position, bloating it up. But I just, you know, sometimes want to test myself, and sometimes I do get a little arrogant at the table, and whatever. I got a nice flop, 973. I bet 1,000. I was just going to. Game flow is just what it sounds like, up and down, and this guy's ready to stack off. He's not going to stack off. He's going to believe you. He's not going to believe you. In this case, it seemed like he was back to being a little risk averse. I don't know. That's what I went for. That's why I play poker. And here's one that I caught shit for, and even Trevor thought this might be my worst play. At 5-17-20, Margo raises to $120. Under the gun, I call the button with A7 offsuit. I could definitely fold that, but that's fine. And we go five ways to the flop, 10, 6, 4, rainbow. And sashimi bets $20, and everyone calls. And the turn is a four, and she has $20 again. And I raise to $800. And she snap raises to $2,500. And I call with my ace high. And the river is a jack, and she goes all in for $7,600. And I go in the tank. She tricked me the way she played this hand. Not her small bets. But when it's a multi-way single raise pot, and it comes 10-6-4, and she leads 20, and everyone calls. And the turn is a 4, and she leads 20 again. When I raise here to 800, if you have trips, that becomes a bluff catcher. It's to 3-bet trips. You don't want to be 3-betting, I don't think. I don't think you want to have a 3-betting range here. And if you do, it's going to want to be boats already or trips with a good kicker. And either way, you're going to have to think about it. She snapped 3-bet to 2,500. I know she wants to make plays. She's trying to bluff me. She tried to bluff me the week before with nothing in a bomb pot. And so I'm going to call, and hopefully she'll just quit on the river, and then my ace high will be good. We already had one like this early on where she bet 1,100 on the turn, and I called with bottom pair, and I was good. So 2,500 isn't that different from 1,100 later in the night. And I called, and then the river was a jack, and I was going to pay her off. I was going to call with ace high. Of course, she could have 5-3 here. She could have 7-8, 5-7. I know I'm blocking that a little bit with my ace-7 offsuit, but Trevor, going to put this in the worst play category. Turn pretty ambitious here. So the raise to 800 is definitely ambitious, but it's what I do, right? Her 3-bet is fucking not great. It's so not great that it works as a level. When I go to 800, anything you have is either a bluff catcher. Like if you have trips, that's a bluff catcher. That's all that is with these stacks. And I don't know how much deep stack poker she's played, but all she has is a bluff catcher if she has trips on the turn here. If she has a boat, she's going to have to think about what's the best way to proceed. And she's going to have to think about if her boat's even good here enough to pile in more money. And if she thinks I'm bluffing, why is she fucking raising anyways? What does she think I have? She never thought about what I had. And so she put in a 3-bet and it tricked me. So what? That happens. I played against the rule, not the exception. The rule is when someone 3-bets you in this spot, it's always a bluff. Always. There just isn't a 3-bet range that exists for value. And so that's the rule. This was the exception. She just had trips and was playing in an absolute sense, and maybe she hasn't played that much deep stack poker, and it tricked me. Who cares? She almost got an extra 8K because of it. And if you wind the clock back to when I played on Max Pay Money, it was 25-50-100. Ronnie played his hand exactly like a hand that's never for value, and I almost called with fucking 10 high or something if he went all in for 9K or whatever. And people thought I was Raver again, thought I was saving face, being a hypocrite, tanking time. I don't do that shit. I'm not saving face. I've done everything in my powers since 2008 to make people think I suck at poker. I don't care. I'm not doing that. It's just irritating. You know, I'm not doing that, man. I'm thinking about fucking calling. And so I caught a little flack when I thought against Natucci early on when I had king 6 on queen 9-5-5. But he played his hand such that it was either a 5 or it was jack 10. Those are the two options pretty much. And in that case, king 6 becomes pocket aces. Same fucking hand. Well, in this case, ace-7 offsuit becomes fucking pocket aces as well. And when I had queen high against Hillary, it just turns out that she had something really bad. I went all in. I didn't get any. No one said I was being a hypocrite saving face there. I was thinking in all three spots on the rivers, and I made the correct decision in all three spots. I went all in when she was bluffing. I actually had the best hand, I think, but I only had queen high, so it was the best play. And I folded. I dug deep to fold here. to sashimi. I fucking dug deep. It didn't make sense. I think I kept saying, I'm supposed to call. I'm supposed to call because it doesn't make any sense. When it doesn't make sense, you're supposed to call. And then the next level of live poker is digging deep of, but wait a second. Is it more likely that it doesn't make sense and she's punting, or it doesn't make sense and she's overplaying the shit out of something? And then you have to say, you don't even know why you end up giving your cards back to the dealer. Just other than the amount of money, you just don't know if she's capable of bluffing quite that much yet in her career. She will be soon. Guarantee you she's going to be playing big games soon, and she'll be bluffing 7.6K on the river. I don't know if it's time yet. And so that was the deciding factor of, the story doesn't make sense to me. The snap 3-bet, like, what? There's no value in that for most of the competent poker population. And she's a very competent player. It's just, I learned something about her, and I didn't have that before this hand, that she's going to think in terms of absolute value more than relative value. And because of that, when she raises there, I can call and snap fold the river, but I can also just fold. Anyways, I thought it was an interesting hand, and yeah. At 5:27:50, call the raise with jack 7 suited and folded it to a shove. And at 5:29, it was the final counts. I played 61% of hands on this night. That's fucking strong. My VPIP, that was my VPIP. My preflop raise was 32%. It's pretty strong, and it said I won 11.3. I actually won 10.1 because I had to pay for all the drinks again. But and it doesn't, you know, the graphics don't account for bomb pots, the collection being taken out, tips and all that, and tips for the floors and whatever else. So that's the good news, that I went into this Max Payne Monday feeling some pain and just not prepared. Like I had been one of the Mondays recently, I was like almost zen going in, and I played really well. And, and then sometimes I drink too much, and it's not nerves anymore of playing on stream. It was for a while, and it's stuff going on in my life. It's just medicating, and yeah, but we're going to keep playing after the stream. And there was a kid I wanted to get in, Greedy Grant, just because I played with him a little bit on the floor, and just, you know, he's waiting all day to play. And the reality is no one's allowed to play anymore. If you don't play in the show, you cannot play. You just can't. I mean, a super celebrity can, or whatever, a superstar, if you know what I mean, can. But no one else is allowed to. It's just ridiculous that we're putting on this show for 5 hours. We're doing shots. Oh, that was the other element, is they wanted to do shots. I probably would have been okay, or more okay, if we weren't doing shots. But if everyone's doing shots, do you think I'm going to ever be the guy to say, no, I'm not doing shots? I mean, maybe moving forward, because I don't like getting that drunk. But we're going to keep playing, and we're letting grinders come up. And it's no offense to grinders. I've been a grinder. I know that you try and find the good game. You camp out on Monday nights. Well, we're throwing a party. I'm playing 61% of hands, doing shots, drinking beers, drinking cocktails. And it's going to be so blurry by the time you show up on stage. And that was the case. And I got some notes of chip stacks, because I always pay state kings for sashimi and myself. And then I won a big pot against Crazy Jim afterwards, where he went for it. I didn't see his hand. I just turned over my hand. I had 9-8, and it came jack 9-6. And I believe he bet 3440 into 2400. And I called, and the turn was an 8 for 2 pair, and he bet 11,000. He seemed like he was tilting. I don't know. It was so fucking blurry. And I called and just said, I have 2 pair, and the river was whatever. And he said, you're good. And then a switch got flipped, and I lost a 25K pot right after that to Rampage. He had ramped up the aggression, and he didn't get anything going in the stream, and then he started to make some hands. And He's 3-betting an awful lot, and he 3-bet from the small blind when I was in late position, and I 4-bet with 7, something I don't always do, but when I feel like someone's really wide, and I'm going to do it sometimes, and I had 2 sevens with the 7 diamonds, and it came ace, king, deuce, 3 diamonds, and so I bet. I have the strongest range, and he called, and it seemed like he had a kind of a weak bluff catcher. And the turn's a king, and he checked, and I bet again just to really put him to the test, and he called. And the river's a break, and I checked back. And he had king-queen offsuit. So we had a flip going in, and then I needed a diamond or a seven or even just not a king on the turn. I think he would have folded. I lost a huge pot there. I lost a big one with jacks. Someone flipped a set. I called 1,000 three ways with tens. It came 984. They checked to me. I was in position. So I opened, called the 3-bet here. I bet 1,600, and I got called by ace 4 and king 4 on 984, and I lost to both players, and it just all went the wrong way. And then I straddled for 200. Rampage opened to 500. I 3-bet to 2K with pocket 8s. He jammed on me for 14K. I had to fold. And I'm adding on, and I suited Superman was on my right. He's a nice guy. He's not allowed to play. It doesn't make sense for me to let good players. It's not like I'm afraid to play against anyone, but it's just such a disadvantage when you've been putting on a show for 5 hours to try and, like, play regular poker. Like, it's so hard to adjust to, like, oh, I don't need a 61% VPIP anymore. I don't need to, like, do this. I can. It's so, anyways, he's on my right, and my image is, as you might expect, you know, I don't even know what time it is. It's so blurry. And he opens, and, you know, greedy grants in the game. Rampage. The pots are 30K. There's 30K pots, 40K pots, and straddles, and, you know, $200 straddles. And anyways, I 3-bet with pocket kings and suited Superman called out of position. And it came jack-jack-10, 2 diamonds. He checked, I bet, and he called. And the turn was a king of diamonds. And so I have kings full, and I think we might have checked the turn, and then the river was a small diamond, and he checked, I bet, and he check raised, and I thought for a nanosecond of just calling. There's a straight flush out there and quads, and I thought for a nanosecond of just calling with kings full, but then I thought, what the fuck, am I crazy? He jack 10 is very much in his range, and I don't think he has a flush, but I do think he has a boat, and we checked the turn, so he could have rivered a boat and whatever. He had pocket jacks. So I got felted. And then I got in pocket threes against what I thought was 2 big cards just for $4,500. And I mean, I don't mean to say just for $4,500, but I held against ace-queen. And then this other pro that played, I knew he had a flush draw, and it was a paired board, and I checked, and he bet the turn, and I jammed on him with 7 high, just no equity, and he just didn't have a price to call with a flush draw against any normal hand, but he was just sick of it, and he called with 9 high flush draw and bricked out, and he won with 9 high, and nothing was going on. I value bet my life off to Rampage, so that meant it went to where it was clear the game flow was that I was not to be bluffed, just to be called. And so when you have top pair, you go for thin value, and Rampage just had better kicker. And then I made 2 pair against suited Superman, but he had flopped the set, and that was it. I just grabbed the rest of my chips and did a walk off. I played 11 hours. I was up about 30K at one point, and I lost about 20. And I kind of felt this coming. For my third loss in a row, I kind of felt it coming, and it's an irrational feeling, but it's also the feeling I had. And if you listen to part one, you know I had it walking up to the stage. And that's a setback for me, and you can sign up to become a patron if you want to hear what happens next. Let's do the countdown to 2023 scoreboard check. After week 29 of 48, 58% of our way through the journey. That is season 5 of Sessions. Played 20 hours this week, so 492 hours on the year. The pace is 435. I'm trying to get to 750 total. We're 57 ahead of that pace. That's good. For every win I get every winning session, that's plus 5 points. Every loss is minus 5 points. Well, I lost all three. The two prior that I played on the Tuesday and Wednesday leading before, and then this Monday was a big loss for me. Even though I've had much bigger wins, it doesn't matter. Anytime I win, it goes to the corporation that backs me and State Kings and free rolls, and then the rest goes to debt and whatever. But yeah, so I got three losses, minus 15, or right on pace, 145 points on the year. I've won 58 sessions. I lost 29. That was the goal going into the year, and we're right at goal right now, win two out of three. A lot of Patron updates. It'll be interesting the following Friday. I do believe I'm going to lose a significant amount of Patrons, and I'm okay with it, to be honest. Anyways, William signed up. Thank you, William. Alfonso signed up. Thank you very much, Alfonso. Someone deleted. Chris signed up. Thanks, Chris. Two more people deleted. I didn't used to get many deletes. I realize my overall numbers are so much bigger now. I'm going to. Also, a big part of it is the story is changing. Despite this shit week of lose three, run good on stream, but also, you know, and that's a really big cooler. Kings against Jacks, and it comes Jack, Jack, 10, King. But after that, I value time myself too much, and I should have left really after that instead of reloading. Anyways, the story is changing. It's Sessions was this, someone called it Sisyphus for the first several seasons. It's no longer that. The Rock's finally fucking going up the hill, and some people don't like it. And if they're being honest with themselves, they know I'm right. And that's fine. They just can't bring any of that resentment upon me. They can just find something else that they like. And yeah. So I don't know if I said Anthony signed up, but Anthony signed up. Sendarian won. Thank you, Sendarian won. Redonkulous, someone who's been around for a long time. Just a cool as fuck patron. I don't think he's going anywhere. He went to 51. He wants to get in on buying pieces. I did earn. So I've been selling on State Kings for 9 weeks now, and I'm 9-0 on Max Payne Monday, and I don't even want to know the total. It's probably over 200K, and just sun running, and most Mondays going in there ready to play and playing pretty well. And I played, I would say I played my C game, and then overall my C minus, but whatever. Thank you, Redonkulous. And someone went down 844. There's different tiers. That's what I want. I want people who want to hear the story to be patrons, and people who want to have access to the forum be patrons, and then check out the perks. Go to the ones that are for you. It's not you doing. I shouldn't say supporting my content. It's buying my content. It's renting my content and being paying your dues to a community, because I think a big problem is people thought they were doing me a favor too much, and some were, but a normal, you know, pledge, it's to get content and get the perks, and I do appreciate it, but I don't owe anything, and I don't owe anyone's, I didn't earn anyone's judgment. I don't accept judgment from anyone. So anyways, someone deleted. Justin signed up. Thank you, Justin. Jeff came in at $5, and someone deleted and left me an exit survey that said they're getting their escape somewhere else. That's very fair, and I appreciated it. And I already realized this a couple weeks ago, that I needed to revamp this podcast, that the Monday and Wednesday drops needed something. And they're different now. There's no poker on Monday and Wednesday. I'm going to just spew hard. I'm going to do the spew train. I'm going to drive the spew train every Monday and Wednesday. And that way Thursday is also a life story into a little bit of poker, and Friday is poker heavy. And that's a pretty nice balance. And I don't know how this became a four-time-a-week podcast, but it did again. And, so we netted two Patrons. And that's a below-average week. That's 8 points. But we are at 652 points on the year. The pace is 348. We're 304 ahead of pace. The goal is to get to 600. That was the original goal. We're at 652. We've been above 600 twice and gone below. I hope we get to, 1,200. Because this is when I can finally get out of debt, I can work a little bit less. I can work more on the community. I'm thinking of hiring people to run the community and giving them a piece of the growth. And I don't know, but Poker Ags is the next line. Anything someone orders off my startup under my page, DGAF, get a point. And we should have my sound guy named Sound Guy. I don't know where he's at, but he should have queued up the MVP music. But we got an MVP, and it's Paul from London, England. He bought 5 things off of my page, so that's 5 points. Appreciate it, Paul. Paul was a winner. Anyone who writes 3 sentences or more in their quote-unquote home thread on the forum, which everyone qualifies for, every patron at any level qualifies for, I do a drawing, and I think it's been like 20 people have been writing a week, and I do a drawing, and one person, I'm free rolling 1%, even if I'm in makeup or not, or even on, like, on this case where I won on stream, it's whatever I win on stream, they're getting 1%, even though I lost 20K overall. Someone, we have another winner already, but anyways, thank you very much, Paul, for using that money to buy some poker rags. So we got 5 points, 64 of 245 on the year. 181 behind pace. It's just what it is. Pace is to get to, the goal is to get to 423. And then the countdown to 2023 line. 18 points this week, which is a really off week, low week. Still ahead of pace. We're at 1353 on the year. 1173 is the pace at this point. We're 180 ahead of that. And I don't know. I just, it's a weird time for me as a content producer, no, more so as a community builder, but I don't know, man. I guess that's just all part of it.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.